Seems like we've had mostly prayer requests for families who've lost loved ones this week. And what's really amazing is most everyone that has passed away this week, with the exception of Keith Maples, passed away that we know of here and in this general area on the 7th of June. I just found that to be so odd, amazing, strange.
And why is that?
Well, I don't know. It just hit me, you know, that heaven received a whole lot of people on June 7th, all from this area. No telling how many across the world, but
millions.
Seven is a good number.
It's the number of perfection.
That's right. So we want to pray for the family of Kathy Nisley, who passed away this week into her final home. And then Alvin Higgins has gone to his eternal home. Alvin is a longtime resident of Roger Mills County, and his daughter actually works for Winery Funeral Service. Mm-hmm. And he's lived he hadn't lived in Roger Mills County for a while. But anyway, and then we want to pray for the family of Keith Maples, who's gone to his eternal home after a long battle of illness.
Okie dokie. Well, nobody needing healing?
Not that shared with us yet, unless something pops up on Facebook
well,
in a little bit.
Yeah,
we know there's people that need healing, but
well, praise, you know. that's kind of good, you know. I mean, because as I've always commented, you know, it's when we pray for somebody to be healed, it's like dire circumstances.
Uh-huh.
It's like now something's got to happen now, you know, or they've anyway. So, well, let's pray, and as I always like to do, I like to quote these scriptures. Matthew 18, verse 18, 19, and 20. Monica was using verse 18 before when she was praying. And Neva, don't ever ask Monica to pray over the food.
I know. I've seen that.
Anyway. So, okay.
You'd have to stick it back in the microwave.
A merry heart does good like a medicine. So we got frivolity in here, so good things are getting ready to happen. Okay. But anyway, Monica was on her face, binding and loosing. It was cool. Did a good job, by the way, just so you know. So, Matthew 18, verses 18, 19, and 20 is what I like to use. Verse 18 says this. Jesus said this. Therefore, whatever you bind in earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose in earth is loosed in heaven. Or as the Amplified Bible says, whatever you declare improper on earth is declared improper in heaven, or has already been declared proper and proper in heaven. And whatever you declare proper on earth has already been declared proper in heaven. See, it's up to us. Verse 19. Therefore, if two or three of you shall agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be granted to them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Guess what? Jesus is here in the midst of us. So, Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. And first of all, we thank you for these three prayer requests and these individuals and people that went home to be with the Lord on June 7th. And we're just going to get this all in one fell swoop for the family of Kathy Kinsley. She's gone to be with the Lord. The family of Alvin Higgins, who's gone to be with the Lord. And the family of Keith Maples, who has gone to his eternal home after a long battle with illness. Okay. So, Father, we thank you this. It says in the Bible that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So we thank you, Father, that although it's not apparently a pleasant event for us on the earth who mourn and miss those people, that in the eyes of eternity, I mean, they're greeted with open arms and you're glad to see them. They close their eyes here on earth, and they opened them up, and they were in eternity with Jesus Christ. So we thank you for it, Father. But what we want to deal with is the affairs that are that must be taken care of now, the funeral arrangements, everything that's done with the finances, and the future of all the family and the heirs and how they conduct themselves after this. And so I strike down strife right now in the name of Jesus, And I strike down selfishness in the name of Jesus. You are not going to win out in any of these affairs. Everything concerning the funeral arrangements, the memorial service, the graveside service, everything that's done subsequently to that will be done decently in order. I speak peace, peace to all these people, and a revelation to them that these people really are in a better place, and that rapid healing will take them through the mourning process, and it doesn't go beyond that which it needs to be. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Refuge Church, located at 18410 Highway 152 in Sayre. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your socks and shoes off. And Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott is an amazing man of God. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
At Bordice and Ford, we think it's better to give than receive. And we're giving thanks to every one of our customers for allowing us to be your Ford dealer for the past 27 years. As the weather is changing, we encourage you to visit our service department if your brakes are squeaking, your heater is struggling, or your vehicle isn't running at top performance. And shop our new and pre-owned inventory with vehicles arriving daily. Experience the Bordice difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service. Only at BarberDysonFord.net.
You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is Lee Schrader. His title for today is, He Took the Sin from Sinning.
That's right.
You know, Lee, I should have said, ask you to pray for me and Joe. We've been married 34 years today.
Wow.
And we are going to be on the road this afternoon. We're going to go to the city for just a couple of nights, maybe, and take in a couple of good meals and maybe a movie. And, you know, 34 years in this day and age, especially when you have a blended family, could be a tumultuous situation, but we've been blessed.
Well, let's pray for you. Father, we thank you for Joe and Eva. And this is what the Bible says. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. And, you know, I like to say thing, spell it T-H-A-N-G, good thing. Neva, you're a good thing. You really are. Joe has obtained favor with the Lord because of you. And so we thank you, Father, for Joe and Eva, and what a blessing they are to this entire area of Western Oklahoma. Everybody knows Joe and Eva. I drop that name a lot. Do you know Eva? And so you have favor. See, the Bible's true. Joe has obtained favor, and you have favor, okay? So we thank you, Father, for a error-free time in this, the city, as they call it. For those of you in another state, that's Oklahoma City, okay? Anyway, so they're going to go have a good time. They're going to go flesh out and see some movies and maybe go to some nice restaurants and hopefully use some gift cards that somebody gave them and so on and so forth. And but, Father, we just thank you for a great time. She's going to whip it out. There it is. Yeah. Somebody gave her $20 today. So anyway, that was me. Anyway. you're going to have a great time. And so we just render tribute to where tribute is due and give you an attaboy. Way to go, Joe and Neva. Because if you knew them, and you think, well, okay, they've been married 34 years, and I won't say their age, but if you knew their age, you'd go, wow. And I mean, they're so young, you know. That's what I always think about you and Joe is just you're young. I always think about that, about you, Neva, and Joe. Water skiing in his 80s, and so I gave it away. But God bless you, and you're going to have a great time. Praise God. But
thank you.
Let's get back to business here. Okay. All right. So I'll lay this here. So anyway, so the third fact of these four facts is this. We can say he was delivered up on account of our trespasses and was raised for our justification. And those scriptures that I'm using is six of them, and four of them are from Paul's letters, and one of them's in the book of 1 Peter. That's another one of the epistles from the apostles and the prophets, okay? And then where we're going to start, though, in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And let's go there and let's read Isaiah chapter 53. Now, the beautiful thing about Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, is it reveals the entire redemptive work and redemptive mind of God, what he did in Christ. And it tells us some clues and reveals some things to us about Jesus, both his life on the earth and his ministry of reconciliation as our substitute and identifying himself with us. That's what it's all about, our identification with Christ. Now, there's a lot of people teaching, and it's real popular right now, you know, find your identity in Christ. But that's all kind of coming from a soulish thing, and yeah, I know who I am in Christ, but it's beyond that. I used to say when I've been teaching for a long time since I got saved, so that'd be almost 48 years, okay? I mean, I got thrust right into teaching Sunday school in 1975 anyway. Had no clue what I was doing, but I did. But anyway, but for years, when God began to reveal Paul's gospel to me, people say, well, what's the thrust of your ministry? And I said, well, I teach people who they are in Christ. And you know, a lot of times I get a flippant answer was, especially in Tulsa, well, I already know who I am in Christ. Teach me something bigger. Okay. That flippant answer tells me you don't know who you are in Christ, because if you did, you wouldn't be so flippant about it. And you would be like, because when you come to there and you see the importance of the death of Christ, you're like those 24 elders in the book of Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, who they toss their crowns down at the feet of the Lamb, and they say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Okay? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Supper, he says, as often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So the death of Christ. Now, he was raised from the dead. Okay? And that's a scripture we'll eventually get to. That's Romans 4:25. He was raised from the dead in hell for our justification. And then after he had done some other things, went and preached to the spirits in prison, then he entered his body, and that's when he appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden, and he said, touch me not. This is in the book of John, the 20th chapter. Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to the others and tell them that I go to your God and my God. Okay? And why didn't he want Mary to touch him? Because she wanted to hug him. Jesus, oh gosh, it's you, yay! Because he had not taken his blood up to put it on the mercy seat. The blood signifies the legal facts of our redemption. That's why the blood of Christ is so important. It signifies what God did in Christ. We're redeemed by the blood of Christ. Now, people erroneously say, we're getting Isaiah 53, that we're covered by the blood. No, you're not. You're washed in the blood. That's what the book of Revelation says. Their robes, those who overcame, their robes were washed white and clean. And in Revelation 19, it says they came back on white horses. And it says in robes that are washed white and clean. The only person who's covered in blood is Jesus. It says his robe is dipped in blood. Now, how did that happen? Well, when he, I believe it's when he put his blood on the mercy seat. And we know that there's a tabernacle in heaven, that the tabernacle is a tabernacle and a temple and that God had them construct under the old covenant is patterned after the one in heaven. Okay? And we know there's a mercy seat up there. And we know that there are angels that hover over that. There are cherubs that cover over that. They cover it. And when every time the devil accuses you, Revelation 12 comes into being. It says that old serpent, Satan, the one that is cast down, Revelation 12, kind of 11, somewhere in there, 10 through 11, 12, whatever. The one that accuses the brethren day and night before our God. And it says they overcame him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Here's the deal. The devil, you talk about a legalist. The devil is a legalist. That's why he likes to get people into legalism. He's just looking for something to trip you up on. You know, if you've ever been to court and ever been cross-examined by an attorney, oh my gosh, I have. I give expert testimony sometimes in my profession. And I'm right. I'm a land surveyor, okay? And I'm right. And like the last one I was in, I was hired by the plaintiff, the attorney of the plaintiff. And it had already been, and it had gone to the Supreme Court of Oklahoma. And they said, okay, do this, this, and that, and hire a surveyor to do that. And that's when I got hired. So I did that. I did what the Supreme Court said to do. But the defendant, you know, when emotion gets involved, people go crazy. They just go crazy. They lose any rationality. I see it all. I've been surveying for 42 years, and I've just watched it with amazement what people will do over just a few inches. I mean, I know a survey that was killed over adverse possession one time in Tulsa. This happened. A company I worked at was shot right there on site, okay? So these people, acting irrational, said, no, tell the Supreme Court we're not satisfied with what they've said. And so you see this language all the time in the news. So the Oklahoma Supreme Court remanded it back down to the same district court that ruled against those people the very first time, Washtenaw County, Oklahoma. So I prepared an exhibit, did what the Supreme Court said to do, and the attorney for the defendants, I understand why people don't like attorneys. We need them. But I understand. Because after he said, the attorney for the plaintiff had asked me everything about my survey, and it's gorgeous, it's great, it's right, this is what this, and are you, did you depict what the Supreme Court said to do? And I said, yes, I did. It's a fact. So then the attorney for the defendant gets up and he says, good morning, Mr. Schrader. How are you doing? You just want to, I know what you're getting ready to do. You just want to slap the living crap out of him because that's so hypocritical of you. He spent 30 minutes trashing my reputation. Everything he could do to try to persuade that judge that even though what I did was right, was wrong because he wanted to trash my reputation. He called me, without using profanity, he's trying to convince this judge that I was the lowest dirtbag on this planet. And this erroneous survey by Mr. Schrader, he even pronounced my name right. That's what the devil does. He stands right before the Father. And I, at another time, I can explain why this is allowed to happen, but not right now. I know I can show you from the scriptures, okay? But every time you do something right, or every time you do something wrong, the devil's accusing you before God and telling him what a dirtbag you are, Monica. And God says, no. And then this is part of where we get into where Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making the intercession for us. This is where you get into Romans 8 where the Spirit itself with groanings cannot be uttered. He makes intercession with groanings you know, he expresses the will of God. This is where all that comes into play, okay? And the Father says no. And he doesn't say they're covered by the blood. They're redeemed by the blood. They're washed clean. You're a new creation in Christ. Old things really have passed away. Things, all things really are of God, and all things really are new. Okay? So I've got 4 minutes and so many seconds left, so let's go here, Isaiah 53. So the accuser of the brethren, what he does is he accuses you before God. Wow. Isaiah 53. Now, I was going to start with verse 4, but we're just going to read the whole chapter, and I'm going to just make some comments. Verse 1, and Paul quotes this in Romans chapter 10. Who hath believed our report, and to who is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. See, that's a picture of Jesus. And he's going to go on and tell us some more about him. You know, and that's... Okay, safe. You'll see why in just a minute. But there are many depictions of Jesus that he's this fun guy and laughing all the time. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He was the only one of his kind, and he was heavily persecuted for who he was. Nobody, even as a child, nobody understood him. Because in Luke, the fourth chapter, when he went in after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit in the River Jordan, and the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, revealing the Trinity, and the Father speaks out of heaven, says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," he went right back to his hometown. And he went right into the synagogue where he had been many times. And it says, as his custom was, he opened the book and read out of Isaiah chapter 61. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, blah, blah, blah. And it said, they all looked at him like, what? And they were astonished and amazed. And you go and read the other accounts of it, they were ready to stone him and kill him. No, this is Joseph's son. No, okay. No, 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 no. I'm going to say this, that Jesus probably all of his life, that they thought he was an odd duck. He didn't, you know, he wasn't at 10 playing jokes and parting the water in the creek. And he wasn't, you know, healing sheep. And he didn't do any of that stuff. None of that happened. They thought he was just some guy. Let's read on. Thought I'd throw that out there. Oh, look at verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief. Grief was his pal. He knows what it's like to suffer. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He can relate to you better than anybody can relate to you. You look for somebody to relate to you? Look to Jesus. He can relate to you better than anybody can. There ain't nothing you've gone through that he hasn't experienced. It may not be that exact experience, but it has the grief that accompanies it. He can relate to it. It says so in the last verse of Hebrews chapter 2. He's able to come to those because he's suffered. He's been there. You look for somebody who's been there? Jesus has been there. He's been there. You're looking for somebody who can relate to you? Jesus can relate to you. Oh, really? Jesus said in John, the 14th chapter, he said, I'm getting ready to leave, but I'm going to send you another comforter. And he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth, show you things to come, convict the world of sin, and everything he's going to say is going to be things concerning me. He called him another comforter, another helper, another teacher. So what was Jesus doing all the time when all those disciples were complaining and whining and who's the greatest and who's going to be at your right hand and let's build another tabernacle? In the midst of all of that, he was comforting them, saying, you guys, it's okay. Relax. It's going to be okay. I'm going to die. What's comfort in that? And then after 3 days, I'm going to be raised again. And Peter says, not so, Lord. No, no, no. You're supposed to kick the Romans out of Jerusalem. I gotta stop. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely. It's a fact. Surely, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'm going to read this through, and then we're done. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. See, he was our substitute. And he made his grave with the wicked. Now, there's that parallel structure, okay? And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul, the eternal part of him, you're a spirit, you have a soul, an offering for sin, he shall see his Lord, see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He, who is he? The Father God. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. That's you and me. And he bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. I'm going to stop right there. And in 2 weeks when I come back, we're going to come back to this, and we're going to talk some more about this, that he was delivered on account of our trespasses, and he was raised for our justification. I'm done. Amen.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Neva Pyatt, and from our handsome brother in Christ, Mr. Lee Schrader, y'all have a blessed weekend, and we will see you on Monday.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.